It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. Tuolumne County's new budget year starts this month, so the Board of Supervisors recently approved a preliminary spending plan. It lays out the amount of money different departments will receive over the coming year. Here to get into the details is Tuolumne County CAO Tracy Riggs. CAO Riggs, it's good to have you back on Motherlode Views.
Thank you, BJ, and thank you for having me.
You know, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the new budget, we hear sometimes the referring to an operating budget versus a general fund budget. Just for informational purposes, can you kind of explain the difference between the two?
Yeah, of course. So actually in government, you have governmental funds, then you have enterprise funds and internal service funds. The general fund is one of the funds within governmental funds. We have road, we have fire, we have capital projects. So that the difference is there a lot of almost all of those are some form of operations, but the general fund is what contains the sheriff's office, general administration, which is everything tax collector, auditor, controller, board, also as district attorney, your ag. So it's the general services that people see on a daily basis. And then the other governmental funds are those that I mentioned, fire and roads, and they're also operating funds.
And the general fund, the one then that the board has the most discretion over?
Yes. So the general fund, anytime that we have grant funds, there's very little discretion. So the general fund is where they have the most discretion, and that the total revenue that they have, the general fund budget is about $127 million, but the board only has discretion over about maybe half of that because the rest are grant funds, again, coming in or dedicated funding for other purposes.
So again, what are those numbers this year when it comes to the operating budget and the general fund budget?
So the total budget for all three of those different governmental, enterprise, and internal service is $312 million. The general fund is $127 million. Fire fund was $10 million this year. Roads, $14 million. And then road construction was $35 million.
So the preliminary budget was approved ahead of July 1st, and now will it be reassessed over the coming months or so?
Yes, so what we are doing something a little bit different this year in that, and other counties do this, we are doing our adopted budget is what we just did that is effective right now, but we will do a full mid-year review. We review it on a monthly basis, but we'll be bringing it back to the board around February to give them an update on how all of the funds are operating underneath the current budget.
So the budget that was approved ahead of July 1st, what were some of the big challenges to creating that budget this year?
This budget was different than the last couple of years because we didn't have like CARE Act, we didn't have ARP funding. We had a more traditional budget, which means we had to really work to live within our means. And it's not unusual. We have this every single year, except for the last 2 years or three during COVID. What we have to do is sometimes reduce our spending in some areas. Our general revenues for the discretionary revenue I spoke to only increases about $1.5 to $2 million per year, yet the cost of operating increases significantly more. So this is why when people hear us, it's not that we never operate in a deficit, but our revenue simply do not keep up with the cost of and increases in operations, such as salaries and benefits. You talk about our sheriff's office. We did some really big investments there. There was a cost to that, about $3 million just for regular salaries. Didn't include any of the other types of benefits that go along with that or overtime that is required of them. And as I just said, our revenues only increased $1.5 to $2 million. So you can see right there, there's a discrepancy that we have and a shortfall just with one set of services, and that happens across the board.
What are the revenues that the county government receives that it can spend?
So the revenues that the board has the most discretionary over is your property taxes, sales tax, TOT, and there's some others that are smaller that come through there. And that's where we get to that $50, $60 million mark that the board has discretion over. All of the others tend to be dedicated funding that comes in and or grant funds.
You know, there were some hot button issues that were discussed ahead of approving the spending plan, things in relation to like Columbia Fire, the Visitors Bureau, the Water Agency, the county social media firm. Am I kind of ask you a little bit about those. First off, you know, if people who weren't following the meetings, the Visit Tuolumne County and its contract, what was decided with that group?
Yeah, so with Visit Tuolumne County, and I would just make sure I take a moment to say again the incredible work that Lisa Mayo and her team do with Visit Tuolumne. I have watched the impacts that they have made in times when the federal government shut down and the parks are closed and national forests is closed. However, the cost of that contract at one time in the very beginning 40 years ago was around $40,000, and it had begun to increase where it was going to be well over $2 million. And so that's why we wanted to negotiate something that they could live with and something that provided additional discretionary revenue for the board. So what we ended up with was it's a 18%, and then it will slowly go down to, I think it's 16%. And there's no cap on there, but within 3 years, they are supposed to work on something that is, I think it's their tourism investment district that they're talking about. And I know they're on their way to getting that together. They have a consultant, they have some reports, they're now going doing some meetings with their all of the lodging association. So that's why that one, we needed to address it because of the increases there, and then the increase in operations, we needed to be able to see a give and take in both areas.
Then some big changes coming with the Columbia Fire Department. What is the county doing with that particular agency?
Yeah, so with the Columbia Fire, that is mostly funded through one-time funds that we had through the ARP that came in from the federal government. So right now we're partnering with Yosemite College. They are providing the barracks and the station. What we have to find is a location for them to live and be permanently, and we're working on that right now. And we're very thankful that Dr. Tran and her staff were willing to work with us so that we have a place to be. So there's a full-time, fully staffed station at Columbia College for that entire area there.
Is it a couple million dollars extra for the county to take on that department?
Yeah, it's about $2 to $2.5 million to take that on. And it's an investment we need to make. We just have to figure out how we're going to keep it going.
So initially, how do you keep it going this first year?
Yeah, this first year is through the ARP funding. And then we have SAFER grant funding too, which was something fire staff Andy Murphy applied for and we were able to get. But without that additional money, if anyone was watching, we did project out what the fire budget would be. And next year, if we don't have additional revenues, we will be reducing a station. So we are looking at any way to leverage the funding that we already receive and the staffing that we have to see what creative solutions we can come up with in the absence of any type of revenue that might come in to help offset those increasing costs.
So at this point, the county is investigating possible creative solutions.
We are working on it, yes.
Okay, probably I'm guessing decisions have to come pretty soon looking ahead to future budgets.
We would have to, yes. We would need to have something fairly soon. The fire staff is aware of this. We meet with them, meaning our CAL FIRE staff that are funded through the Schedule A station. We are committed to coming up with some type of viable solution. I'm just hoping that the community is willing to work with us in finding that solution.
Well, keep us posted on what is happening in that realm. Also, the water agency in the county, you know, there initially it looked like the board was not going to fund that. And then I understand some funding was put in before the budgets. Can you explain what exactly the water agency is and the situation currently with it?
Yes, so we have a Tuolumne County Water Agency. It is a very old agency that was reactivated during a former board, and Supervisor Carl Rodefer at the time really was the head for that. Since then, Supervisor Kirk and Supervisor Half have really been the impetus to keep this going. So during last year's budget, we had a position funded and we had a consultant. The goal is looking at the future of water sustainability and stability within Tuolumne County and partnering with our like TUD and GCSD, but also looking at the health of our watershed and then getting a collaborative group together with all of those agencies. Our two watersheds feed millions of people and millions of water connections as it flows down into, you know, Hetch Hetchy and then down through maybe even as far as the Delta. So we do have, again, what we have this year is we did not continue the contract at this time with a consultant, but we do have a full-time senior administrative analyst who will be focused on natural resources and water. We did find someone who has 5 years experience specifically working in water and watershed restoration. The goal is to partner this position along with the staff that we have for the Master Stewardship Agreement. They're already doing a lot of our landscape restoration. He will come in and partner with our collaborators and stakeholders to then look at what is the next step in the watershed restoration and sustainability.
We need to take a quick break. We're talking about the new Tuolumne County budget on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Talking with Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs. Our second segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area. For family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service, call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host, talking with Tuolumne County CAO Tracy Riggs on this weekend's Motherlode Views, talking about the new budget that was recently approved for the county. As she mentioned, about a $312 million overall budget, $127 million general fund budget, various different aspects to that budget that we're going into. CAO Riggs, as we ended, we were talking about some specific items that were discussed by the board ahead of approving the budget. One of those items was the social media firm that the county has hired for the past couple of years. What was decided about their future?
Yes, so we have hired Archer and Hound approximately 2 years ago. The real work started about 18 months ago. When I say the real work, that's what people saw. It's not all the background work that the firm did to get everything ready to go out to the community and start seeing a public view of it. So we have been working with them about 18 months, and the board, there were some questions about what were we getting from this contract. So we did have the vendor, Jessica, who is the president of the company, came in with her staff. They provided an update. And as I expected, because they are an incredible firm, the board really was very pleased with the data that they provided and have some additional questions. So we did fund the contract. It's funded at $70,000 for the year. And we will be bringing them back for probably quarterly updates for the board and community to hear what's taking place, and also maybe to consider some other types of services or departments that they may take on to that contract.
You know, you also mentioned earlier the Master Stewardship Agreement is a big part of this upcoming budget. You know, can you explain what the county is funding in that regard and the work that's going to be taking place?
Yeah, the Master Stewardship Agreement has been under the supervision and administration of Liz Peterson, who is a deputy county administrator. She started this from the very beginning. This is a series of grant funds from both the federal government, mostly federal government, but some state, and they're doing all kinds of incredible work. If anyone has driven over the pass, which my family and I just did about 2 weeks ago, you will see the work that's being done on the Stanislaus National Forest landscape. They're clearing out the ladder fuels. They're getting rid of some of the old fuels that were laying on the ground from fires. And they're replanting. So it's not just on the 108 side. They're also doing work on the 120 side. If anyone has any questions on that, I would encourage them to call Liz Peterson. And Katie Henry is also heading that up. She is the new analyst that's been with us doing an incredible job. Her and her family actually were up there planting new trees. And that was it was pleasing to see that she's so invested in the work that she's doing.
During the winter months, there were some notable damage that occurred on three roads that I know many in the community are curious and concerned about. North Tuolumne Road, Old Priest Grade, and Ward's Ferry. Is money to make those improvements in this upcoming or this new budget?
Yes, so for all three of those roads, we do have money in the budget. I did want to take a moment to explain why this is taking so long. And I'm not an engineer, but I've had a lot of questions to our engineers. Part of the reason this is taking so long is we had companies coming in taking core samples, and what they were looking for is, has the ground stopped moving? For example, North Tuolumne Road, it's 400 feet across and 25 feet deep, but they had to wait till it stopped moving before they could decide what the corrective action is. We now have that for all three of those roads, and we are working to get those out to bid. The total collective estimated cost for those three roads is $14 million. That is funded between FEMA and Cal OES. The other thing that takes so long, and there's nothing we can do about this, is that We have to have approval from FEMA before we can begin construction, or they could not fund the road. And we simply don't have $14 million laying around that we can pull from if, in the event that they decide not to fund them. So that also takes a bit of time. And for individuals listening to remember, we're talking about catastrophic failures, road failures across the entire state of California. So FEMA and Cal OES are incredibly busy. They've been working. They've made multiple site visits. And our public works crews have been out there, and they're engaged, and they're getting ready to put these out to bid fairly soon. So we're super excited. We're just asking community to bear with us. We know that these are creating hardships, and they're doing the best that they can.
So hopefully pretty soon, you say, bids going out? Yeah. Have you heard any type of timelines or anything like that?
I don't have the dates. I can get back to you with those, but I can have Kim McFarland, who's a public works director, I can have her give us an update and send those over to you.
Any other road projects of note that stand out with this upcoming fiscal year?
There's a couple that are specifically of interest. I know Standard Road, we have been waiting. We actually were kind of waiting for TUD to finish up the water connection they were doing. So that has completed. We will, that actually, if it hasn't gone out to bid, I believe it has, they'll be getting that project fairly soon. It will cause some delays along that road, but once we get done, everyone's going to enjoy driving that road a whole lot more, because it really is a terrible, terrible road right now. The other one is Tuolumne Road. We're doing an overlay with that, and actually that's in partnership with the Tuolumne Band of Miwok Indians. They have funds that they put aside on an annual basis for maintenance of that road, and they're pretty much paying for the entire overlay of that road. So we're very thankful for that partnership. And then there's another one, the Jamestown Gateway and Main Street. They're going to be doing some work up there just to make it better and a little more pleasing even as you're driving into that area.
Any new positions that stand out of note with this new budget? I know there's a legislative analyst. Is that a new position?
No, the legislative analyst has always been part of an assignment. For example, at one point years ago, I was a legislative analyst. However, we do have a new individual working on that, and his name is Mark Fisher. He is an analyst in the office who has taken this above and beyond what those of us in the past have done. So we now have a web page for the legislative issues that are going on. Individuals who want to know, I often get questions, what can we do to support the county? Many times what you can do is be an advocate either for or against legislation that is working its way through. If individuals want to know what that is, they can log on to that webpage, and we will have template letters along with whom you should contact. You can email it, call them, and or also mail it hard copy.
How about the public health department? In a general sense, I have to imagine that they had extra money coming in during the COVID period, or are their budgets kind of getting back to the pre-COVID period at this point?
Yeah, they're definitely adjusting. However, because of COVID, it has laid in a whole nother layer for public health and what they're looking at and how to prepare for future pandemics and also what they're tracking. So I think it's given them a different way that they're looking at how you gather information, but also how we become prepared. So it's not a complete reset of where they were pre-COVID because of those additional requirements that are being placed on them and their own internal of what how they want to be prepared should something like this occur again.
Any decisions that the board has put off until like mid-year budget to fund, or I don't know how that works in the county?
Yeah, so by doing our budget early this year, when instead of doing it twice before, we would do a recommended budget that we did the last meeting in June for spending July 1st, and then we would come back with what was called the adopted budget in September. We did the adopted budget already, but what that means is we don't have the actual fund balance. And for those who don't know what fund balance means, think about it. When you balance your checking account and you reconcile it with the bank, you have so much money left. That's your fund balance. So that's what we know we carry into the next year. We don't have that because Debbie Batista and her team, our auditor controller, they have to work with all the departments to get all of their year-end stuff into the county. So we will have a discussion about fund balance and possible ways that they might want to spend it or putting it into contingencies probably around September.
Need to take one more break. Talking with Tracy Riggs, Tuolumne County Administrator, on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to our final segment of this weekend's Motherlode Views with Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs, primarily talking about the new fiscal year spending plan that took effect on July 1st for the new budget year. And CAO Riggs, a couple other questions, kind of things to get into. You know, one question I hear a lot in the community is what's going on with the old courthouse downtown. It's a beautiful building. I know I've done a couple of news stories about it over, you know, the past year, but fill us in. What's happening right now with the old courthouse?
Yeah, we're really excited about where we're going with the old courthouse. So we have both. We have the Washington Street Courthouse, and then we have the Yaney Street Courthouse. So with the historic courthouse, as if anyone's been watching, the board had directed to do a space needs study and look at putting the Board of Supervisors there with the meetings, with the goal of the community now coming into this very beautiful historic building and experiencing it in a way that you're not coming in for court, but you're coming in to engage in your local government and you're coming in to engage with your elected leaders. So that's where we're moving. That means that in that building, we would have, this is what we're looking at right now, is the board chambers and the Board of Supervisors offices would be on the third floor. Then we would have county administration, county council, and we're trying to fit in another department. We had hoped to put HR in there. I think it's probably going to be more Office of Emergency Services. But the core would be Board of Supervisors, County Administration, and County Council that would be located in that building. And we would start having meetings in that building. So we're super excited about that. As you can imagine, it's not an easy topic or renovations because we are trying to stay as true to the nature and character of that building as we can. And we're doing that. We're super excited, but it will require an elevator be installed. And so we're looking at doing it on the outside of the building, which will require very little demolition to the building to make that happen.
Keep it historic, still need to be ADA compliant and all those things.
Exactly. If we don't put in the elevator, we have to accommodate, which is hard to do when you're going to have Board of Supervisors meetings. We want everyone to be able to have access and easy access to participate in those meetings.
How about the old Tuolumne General Hospital facility? Is that still being actively used by the county?
It is. So Tuolumne General Hospital currently has about 100 employees who are working in that building. We have Behavior Health, Health and Human Services Administration. We also have part of our GEO team, which is for probation. And then our child welfare is also located there with the goal of moving everyone out of the public health building. So we would only rent social services for now because we realize we cannot fit several hundred employees and all of their customers that come into that building, mostly because of parking. That is our biggest issue there. And anyone who's driven by there knows there are limits. So we are excited for that as well. That was actually where I started, was in Tuolumne General. So it's near and dear to my heart. And we are working on that. And we are also looking at other options that might be available for them in the far future.
Also, what's going on with the old jail facility downtown now that the new jail is open?
Yeah, so the old jail facility also has our sheriff administration and dispatch. The goal is to build a sheriff administration building on the Law and Justice property, which we really need to do, mostly because the old facility is just like we said. It's an old facility. It's been kept up with some updates to the electrical, but we have issues there. We need to move our staff out of that building. We need to put them into a new building. We have some very creative ideas, and we've been working with some local partners of what that might look like to offset the costs to the county, particularly by sharing that site maybe with another partner. The goal would be then in the future is you would raise that building and all of that, clean it up. And what we'd like to see is some type of maybe townhouses, condo type style homes and housing there in that location, which would be fantastic considering it would be so close to town for people could walk to work, for example.
Yeah, that old jail, not much of a use. I can imagine having done a tour of that about 10 years ago. It was kind of a dicey and scary building there.
It is. We actually have film crews reaching out to us like they used to do for Tuolumne General. Now they want to film at the old jail. And I remember when Diane Cummins, who worked for Governor Brown, came out, she had said, this is one of the worst facilities I've ever seen. And so you can see now know why we were so adamant about moving to a new building.
What's the latest with economic development? I know Robbie Bergstrom is kind of taking over that lead when it comes to economic development now under your office.
Yeah, so Robbie's been doing a great job. He has developed an economic development executive team. Those are some of the representatives from finance, real estate, the Building Association, Visit Tuolumne, the City of Sonora, and there's a few others on there. What they are working to do is create a framework where we go into each community and we develop an economic development plan by community. What are their values? What is it that they'd like to see in the future? That will roll up into a larger plan, which will then allow the executive team and the county to begin looking forward and who is it we want to attract and where do we want to attract, and maybe for grants and other types of maybe business loans. So I am excited the work they're doing. They're actually meeting this week to now create that schedule. So hopefully everyone will watch for that. And I'm really hoping people will participate because it's really critical to how we move forward to in the future for our county.
You know, going back to fire a little bit, we talked about Columbia Fire during the first segment here. What are kind of some of the other questions and issues on the horizon and challenges when it comes to fire?
So with fire, it is, as those who have been watching this board and the previous board, it is their number one priority looking at fire safety. So in the last 2 years, this board has increased the number of county fire stations from 2 to 4. That is not an easy task, and that has come because we were able to get SAFER grant funding, which is about $3 million a year, and we were able to get and utilize funding through their American Rescue Plan. In order to sustain those two additional stations, we are looking at every creative solution and leveraging where we can. But the reality is the county simply does not get enough revenue. And this is even the small districts. They don't get enough either, which is why we're working on a more unified approach to this. And I know there is a local group who is working towards a revenue measure, and hopefully that's successful. But we are still trying to be as creative as we can with what we have available to us. If we cannot make this work, we will be looking at reducing a station next year, which we don't want to do. So we are really hoping the community can come together and we can come up with some solutions to keep these services going.
One thing we haven't talked about much yet is Office of Emergency Services. Anything new to mention with this new budget?
Yeah, so Dory Beats is our assistant director for OES, and her and her team have been doing a fantastic job. They had received a $10 million grant to do fuels reduction. We are very excited about that. That will continue the good work we've already been doing. The other thing we just found out, and this is not included in the current year budget because we didn't know, we finally got the award and notice of funding for a $20 million home hardening grant. And that is super exciting because this is actually individual homes that we will go in, and it might be getting someone a new roof, might be reducing the fuels around their home, putting in the screens for chimneys. It could be a different decking, like a composite rather than wood. So this will make a difference in the lives of individual homeowners. We're super excited about this. This will require, similar to what we did when we did both drought and tree mortality, we'll need right of entries. We will need individuals, homeowners, to sign these. If people have questions, they should call they can call OES or the main administration line, which is the 533-5511. And we will steer them over to Dory if they have any questions about this. It is focused in a few areas. For sure, I know it's Ponderosa Hills, Miramonte, and I'm getting these confused. I know there's one other area, but if they were to reach out to Dory, she could give them all the details on that.
Sounds good. We have about a minute left on this weekend's Motherload Views. Any closing comments you'd like to make as we wrap up?
You know, I think what we're really excited as we go into this year, we have an incredible team. One of the things that I have been mentioning as I go out into individual type group meetings is a lot of our staff are fairly new. We went from this period where we had really experienced and senior staff to now where we have a lot of new staff. And we are asking that as people are working with our staff that they know this. So then when they're asking a question and they're not getting those needs or those answers that they're looking for, don't be afraid to push it up. Don't be be afraid to ask a question, because every opportunity like that is a training opportunity for our staff, and they're engaged. They want to serve their community. So I think that's one of the biggest things we have. And then, of course, we continue to struggle with about a 20% vacancy rate. And that is difficult because, unfortunately, our county does pay lower than most of our surrounding counties. So people are coming here because it's a place they want to live. But we continue to struggle with that. So between that and having new staff, it sometimes creates frustration for those that we serve. And we are just asking that they extend a little grace with us while we continue to train our new staff. They're excited. They're passionate. They just need time.
I have to end on that note. We thank CAO Tracy Riggs for being our guest on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm PGA Hansen, your host. See you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.